Welcome back to the Becoming Mom and Dad podcast. I'm Skylar, and to my right is Kaylee.
Hi.
So, what's new?
A lot of stuff is new. Today is actually Monday. We are a day late recording this podcast because our baby shower was yesterday, and we didn't get back home until almost midnight. So, we are going to be covering the past week. We're not going to get into week 27 yet. We are going to cover week 26 and all the things that came with that, which was kind of a lot. So I guess I'll start off with the basics. So I entered 26 weeks last Monday on Labor Day the 2nd, and we learned that the baby was the size of a turnip. She probably weighs about 2 pounds now, which is kind of like cool to think about because she's already like a third of her weight that she's going to be at birth now. And then she has fully formed lungs and she can now open her eyes, which is kind of cool because I guess like before it was like, you know, I'm sure it's still dark in there, obviously, but I've learned that like if you hold a very bright light up to the side of your stomach, I think they can like respond to the light. So I've been trying to do that with her, but I haven't really noticed anything just yet. So I guess we'll see. But 26 weeks brought a lot of fun challenges, I guess. And I guess we'll go into the first one, which was me getting diagnosed with anemia on Friday. And I guess I'll kind of go into the whole backstory. So on Thursday, my heart rate spiked up pretty bad. And I was at work and I wasn't really doing anything too strenuous. I was just walking around and doing a couple of things. And my watch said that my heart rate had been at like 135 for like over 10 minutes. With like not activity, like no activity happening. And so I was kind of like, that's weird. So when I looked through the history of my Apple Watch at my heart rate, I noticed that my heart rate had been elevated a lot the last like couple weeks or so, like even a month maybe. And so I was like, that's weird. So I called my husband first, then I called my mom.
I'm the husband.
Yeah. And I guess I ended up deciding that I needed to call my doctor because I didn't want to like take any chances on anything. And I knew that like a higher resting heart rate was normal. So like when you're pregnant, your resting heart rate can be up to like 100, I think, and that still be considered normal. But I was like, there's no reason that my walking heart rate should be like almost 140. And so I called my doctor and they were obviously closed. So I talked to the on-call nurse and she basically said that from what she could tell that I was probably anemic. So she said that when you're anemic in pregnancy, which basically just means you have really low iron, that can present itself with like spikes in heart rate, trouble sleeping and stuff like that, which I have been having a lot of trouble like falling asleep recently. Like I've been laying in bed for like 3 hours and not being able to fall asleep. Like Thursday, for example, I got in bed at 9 and I was still awake when Skylar came to bed at midnight. With no TV on, no phone, nothing. And I was kind of just like pissed about that. So anyway, she said, I think you're anemic. And then she went and looked at my records from my first blood draw at 8 weeks. And she saw that my iron levels were already pretty low back then. And then she told me that as you go through pregnancy, your iron needs become like higher and higher and you use way more. So she was like, I'm surprised like they didn't put you on iron sooner. And I'm sure your levels are even way lower now. So they ended up telling me to go buy some ferrous sulfate, which is, I guess, some sort of iron pill, to take 325 milligrams 3 times a day, and that she was going to call the doctor and see what they wanted to do about it. So they ended up moving up my 28-week appointment to the very next day. And in the meantime, they had talked to the doctor. They called me, and they said, go ahead and come in and give us some lab work. So I went in that day, gave them some lab work, and then didn't really do anything. The next day, I kind of was waiting around for them to call me. They called and then they said, yeah, you're anemic, like whatever. They said, that's when they said, take these pills, whatever, many times a day, whatever. And I was like, okay, cool. So like, do I still need to come to the doctor today? And they were like, yeah, go ahead just to be safe. And so I did. And I guess before we really get into the next part of that, I'll just say that when I found out I was anemic, I was kind of stressed at first because I didn't really know what else that meant for me and the baby. And so I kind of like, of course, started Googling everything. And there are some risks that can come with being anemic while you're pregnant, such as like early labor or low birth weights or lots of extra blood loss or even hemorrhaging after delivery, which honestly like was scary to me. And I also didn't know like how I could correct this, because from what I was reading, it can take like several months for like your iron levels to build back up after they've plummeted so low. So I was like, even if I do take these pills, like I might not get my iron levels back up to where they need to be. And I've read a lot of things that a lot of women in pregnancy have had to get iron infusions, which basically involves sitting with an IV in your arm for up to 8 hours a day, for like once a day for like several weeks in a row. So I was like really discouraged about that. So I've been trying to like be more positive about it and just try to maintain like taking my pills and trying to be conscious of like what I'm eating and all that. So I'm just hoping that I can get it up to where I don't have to deal with all of those side effects or any infusions or anything.
So. And so far the doctor only said take the pills. So hopefully that means they're not super concerned about it. But our doctor's kind of like, we live in a small area and we don't have many options for a doctor. And it kind of bothers me that they didn't say anything beforehand. Cause like when she called, the one nurse said that when she looked back, her iron levels were already kind of low. And I'm just kind of like, why did no one bring that up to us and tell us that her iron levels were dipping a little bit? And that's like, that's the kind of the thing that annoys me about our doctor, is they just, they bring Kaylee in and they run their blood tests. And then they're just like, oh, if you want to see the results, like check your little My Chart app or whatever. And it's like, okay, but I don't know what half this stuff means. Or like both of us don't know what half this stuff means. And no one really takes the time to explain anything to us, which kind of bothers me.
The same thing happened with our anatomy scan too.
Yeah, like we had our anatomy scan, like they were just like, they like, oh, this is this body part or this is the head or whatever, but like they didn't tell us like weights or measurements or anything. Like it's like every time we go in, they just do the blood work and we go into the exam room and they go, oh, is there any problems? And we're like, none that we know of. And they're just like, okay, we'll see you next time. And it's like, no one says anything. Like, we don't know. I don't even need a bad update, but like, tell me something good maybe too. Like,
as
it's just
far
nothing.
As like, when it comes to being first time parents, I feel like we need a little bit more of explaining, because we don't really know what's going on anyways, or like what is normal. So I would just think that as first-time parents, the doctors would be more, I guess, forward about just telling us stuff instead of just being like, do you have any questions? But do you kind of want to go into the whole story with this doctor? Because I've been talking a lot
about Yeah, that. And then, so
do you want to start with the first appointment we went with him first, about what happened there and why I think I even have anemia in the first place?
Well, the very first appointment we went, when Kaylee found out she was pregnant, we were trying different, you know, we just started and there's multiple OBs at this clinic that we go to. And the first one we went to, which I think we even talked about it like our first episode or something, but he was not very, he wasn't very friendly towards us. Like we came in and he came in the exam room and he was examining Kaylee. And then like she asked up front about iron, because she has a meat allergy and can't eat much meat. And so
I was already taking iron pills before I got pregnant.
Yeah, she was already taking iron pills, and she asked the doctor if she should continue to take them or what needed to be done. And he kind of, he was kind of derogatory and just
condescending.
Yeah, kind of condescending. That's the word. He was condescending, and he kind of just was like, oh, well, like, if you take prenatal pills, like that's all you need. Like that you don't, it has that in it. You don't need to take any extra iron. And so she hadn't been taking extra iron.
Well, I tried to explain to him why I took the iron in the first place, and that it was because I was mainly, I do eat some meats, but I don't, there's a lot that I can't eat, and I'm not going to get into all that on here, but I haven't eaten most meats and a lot of other foods since I was like a toddler. And so my whole life I've been managing my diet and like having to take iron supplements and whatever. So when I told him that, he essentially was questioning why I was choosing to be a vegetarian and telling me how risky that was for my pregnancy and stuff like that. Which, first of all, I just feel like no mom should go through that, especially a first time mom, when you don't know what's happening. And it's also not like I was choosing to be like that. Like, I didn't choose that for myself. So it's kind of like, whatever. And all he was doing was asking me, well, how are you going to supplement protein? And what are you going to do about this? And what are you going to do about that? And I feel like on the flip side, he should have listened to me about what I was saying about my dietary restrictions, been like, okay, well, maybe we do need to supplement iron. Let's like look at your levels. He might have noticed that my levels were low. And then he also could have like provided helpful information. Like instead of being like judging me for my choices, he could have said like, oh, well, if you're not going to eat meat, like you need to make sure you're doing this, like make sure you're taking this or eating this or getting a lot of spinach. Like, and if I would have known these things, if he would have been more helpful up front, I feel like I could have maybe avoided being as anemic as I am right now.
And so we ended up leaving. After that appointment, we were like, we don't want to see him again because he sucked. And so we started seeing a different OB, and she's been nice and fine. Like, it hasn't been any problems with her. But so then this past week when Kaylee had to get her doctor's appointment moved up, of course, the only person available to see her was this same doctor that we had the first visit.
And I even asked them, like, they told me I could come in like the next day and see him, or I could wait a week and see my regular doctor. And I asked her straight up, I said, like, I want to do whatever's best for my baby. If it is important that I see him tomorrow, like, that's fine. I will do it under the circumstances. And from the way they sounded, I didn't want to take any risks like waiting longer. So that's why I agreed to go see him in the first place.
So we went to the appointment, and then this, it made me mad too, because like I decided to, she wanted me to go with her to the appointment. And so I was going to go, and I took my lunch break. I have like an hour usually for a lunch break from work, and I took that to go with her. And they made us sit in the doctor's office for 45 minutes before we even got back in the back. So by the time Kaylee got called back to the exam room, I went back there with her, and then I had to leave because my lunch break was pretty much over. So that kind of pissed me off because, like, I didn't want to leave her, and I knew she was going to be uncomfortable with that doctor, and then I had to anyway because they took so long. But then I'll let her talk about what happened because I wasn't there, so.
Well, he was there for the first part. So first, the nurse practitioner came in, and she tested my blood pressure and stuff like that, and I was upfront with her. I told her, I was like, hey, weren't you the nurse practitioner for this doctor when I was here the very first time? And she was like, oh yeah, like back in May. And I was like, yeah. And she said, yes, I was. And then she was, you know, talking to me casually. And I said, well, if I'm being honest, I didn't really have a great experience with the doctor last time I was here. And I'm fine seeing him. I just want to ask you some questions before he comes back, just so I can, like, you know, get my questions answered, because I don't feel like he takes me very seriously. And so she said, okay, sure. And like, Skylar was still there. And I asked her, you know, I've read these and these complications about anemia. Like, if I get my levels back up, will it go back to normal? And I think I asked her something else too. And she was really honestly trying to be helpful. She just was like, well, I'm only a nurse practitioner. I don't want to give you any misinformation. So I can't really say 100%. So she basically told me that I still need to talk to an actual doctor to get the questions that I wanted answered. And so she was super helpful. And she even asked me, like, do you still feel comfortable seeing him? Like, do you want to wait, like, and see someone else? And I just told her, I was like, it was fine. Like, I'm here under the circumstances. The doctor's office that we go to only has one doctor in the office a day. So I would have had to come back a different day if I wanted to see someone else. And like I said, there wasn't anybody available for like a week. So I was like, it's fine. I'll see him, whatever. So then this is the point where Skylar has to leave. And he comes in the room. I'm by myself in the room. He knocks on the door. He comes in. And he immediately comes to the bedside and puts his hand on, like, my upper chest and, like, just pushes me down to lay down on the bed. And that initially, like, I feel like I kind of went into the appointment knowing that he was kind of going to be not very nice or helpful. And so I mentally was prepared to deal with that. Like, I was, like, ready to be like, okay, this dude just going to suck and, like, I'll just try to get my answers the best I can and, like, whatever. But when he did that, it almost kind of, like, threw off my whole mindset. Like, it took me by surprise. I wasn't expecting it. And it kind of just, like, freaked me out a little bit. And it kind of just, like, threw me for a mental loop. So I wasn't as, like, prepared anymore, I want to say. And I'm not someone who's been through, this is a touchy subject, I'm not someone who's been through something necessarily that would have been like a big trigger for me, but I can only imagine if I was a woman who had been through something like where someone did something like that without consent, like I would be really triggered by that. And so I was kind of just like sitting there the way he came in and just immediately pushed me down, onto the table. Like, it wasn't fast or anything, but he just, like, forced my body down with his hand, and then he immediately started pulling my pants down and lifting my shirt up. And in every other visit when they've done stuff like that, they've always said, okay, go ahead and lie back. Okay, go ahead and pull your pants to your waistline. Okay, go ahead and lift your shirt above your stomach. Like, they walk you through it all. They don't just do it. And so that was kind of like, I was already kind of like flustered because of that. And so he like measures my stomach, does whatever. And then he doesn't even say anything about the anemia at all. He immediately asks me, oh, you have to come take your glucose test in 2 weeks, right? And I'm like, no, I already took my glucose test 2 weeks ago. And he was like, you did? Almost like questioning me. And I was like, yes. And he was like, well, did you pass? And I was like, yes. Which also leads me to believe he didn't even look at my file before he walked in the room. And then once he sat me back up, he was just like, okay, so like, what's been going on? Like, didn't, like, the whole reason I was there was because I was anemic, and he wasn't even addressing that at all. So I, you know, told him, I was like, oh, well, you know, I'm anemic, and they told me to take this iron. I guess I need to know, like, what else I need to be doing now. Like, they brought me in here, so, like, what do I need to do? And I asked him about the complications that I had read about that I've already mentioned before, and he, instead of answering my question of, like, okay, if I get my levels up, will these complications, like, reduce, like, the likelihood of them, he just immediately starts going into why it's important to have iron. And, like, I understand, like, part of me is conflicted because I'm like, maybe he was trying to be helpful, but I'm like, he wasn't answering the questions that I had or making me feel comfortable at all. And the way he was answering them was, like, super condescending, like I was just asking stupid questions. So that kind of threw me off. And then I was just like, okay, so, like, do I need to do anything? Like, what does that mean for me and the baby? And he kind of was, like, looking at me, like, wasn't saying anything. And I'm like, do I need to be doing anything else? Like, and he kind of was just like, well, just take your iron and whatever. And so I moved on from that subject because I was like, okay, he's still not really answering my questions, like, putting my mind at ease as far as, like, what this means for me. So I'm just going to ask my doctor when I go in 2 weeks and talk to her. So then he is, like, just standing there awkwardly, not saying anything at all, like, just not asking any questions. I'm not saying anything. So then I'm like, okay, let me just, like, ask him another question, like, a less important question. But I said, okay, I also was wondering, like, you know, at what point does the baby flip to go head down, or is there going to be, like, a way I can tell, like, where she's positioned or whatever, just because, like, and it's not even like it was important. I was just curious, like, you know, as a first-time mom, I'm curious as to where the baby's laying in my stomach, and, like, I want to know, like, oh, if I start to feel kicks up high, that means she's, you know, whatever. And so I ask him that, and his really, like, dead ass, his response was to my face, he said, I don't care what position she's in until 37 weeks. And I kind of was just, like, sitting there, like, very frustrated at this point. And I'm like, okay, but is there a way I can tell what position she's in? Because, and I literally said, I was like, because I want to know. Like, I'm curious. I want to know. And he just told me that it's bullshit whatever position she's in before then, that it doesn't matter, and that it's not something that I should be concerned with. And I was just like, okay, like, that's just, I just don't think that that was a good response at all, especially from someone who doesn't know anything about this. So then at this point, I'm like fighting back tears. Like, I already have tears welling up in my eyes, and I'm just like so frustrated with this dude. And like I said, he basically just tells me it's nothing I need to be concerned about. So then I said, oh, well, then I was trying to justify myself, which I feel like I shouldn't have to do, but I was like, well, I was breached and my mom was breached and my mom and her mom both had to have C-sections. So I was just wondering. Then he proceeds to tell me, well, that doesn't matter. Like, I don't give a shit about that because that doesn't mean that you're going to have a C-section. And he then proceeded to tell me the factual stuff that 95% of babies go head down, and like even the 5% who are breached, like 3% of them flip before they are born or whatever. And I just don't feel like that's how you need to be as a doctor for a first time pregnant person. Like, if you're like, you need to be more responsive to the questions they're asking you. And like, yes, giving them factual information like can help, but like, in the moment for me, like, I didn't want the facts. Like, I just wanted, like, advice, if that makes sense. And so I was just, like, at this point, I was just so pissed off. And I basically was trying to do anything to get out of the room. And he was just standing there, still not saying anything. And keep in mind, he's, like, standing so close to me. Like, basically, I can feel his breath on me. And so I'm just like, okay, like, what else? And he's just, like, standing there. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess I'll come back in 2 weeks. And he's like, okay, sounds good. Tell them to go ahead and schedule you 2 weeks out. And so then I just like leave and I hold it together while I check out at my appointment. I make my next appointment. Well, actually, I ended up just leaving my appointment for 28 weeks with my original doctor. And so I just left. And at this point, I'm in the car, hysterical and sobbing and calling my husband and my mom and my friend. And I'm just like bawling my eyes out. So if you want to continue what your thoughts are on that, because I've talked a lot.
Yeah, it was just a really bad experience for her. And like, I hate that she had to go through it. And I don't really understand how that doctor is even still practicing somewhere, because I feel like she can't be the only one that's gone through something like this with him. I mean, it seems like his bedside manner is just horrible. So I know, like, initially I was pretty pissed when she told me about it, and I was like gonna call up there, and I was like telling my coworkers, and they were like, oh yeah, call up there and like tell them who you are and like who you work for, and that'll get them to like do something. But then I told Kaylee, I was like, oh, I'm gonna call up there and say this, and she kind of not told me not to. So,
well, I felt bad because the receptionists that were gonna answer the phone were not gonna have anything to do with it. So
we just kind of like decided, like, we're just gonna make sure we don't ever see him again. And I mean, as long as she doesn't have to have a C-section, we shouldn't, because he's not a natural birth doctor anyway.
Yeah, so the midwives there are the ones that deliver vaginally, and there's two doctors who perform C-sections, and he is one of them. But I'm hoping that, I was telling Skylar, I'm hoping if it comes to the point where we think I might have to have a C-section, hopefully since it's near the holidays, I can schedule one with the other lady. And it won't be.
And we talked about maybe trying to go to a different clinic, because we had a couple people recommend another person to us. But I mean, at this point, we're so far along with this one doctor, and we've already made payments towards the delivery and stuff to them. So it just seems like it'd be really complicated to try and switch now. We're just going to have to avoid that man. And that's.
I did tell my friend who just had a baby about this, and she was actually pretty pissed. She even texted Skylar on the side and was like, if you don't talk to the doctor, like, I'm going to talk to them. So I guess this is something we haven't really talked about since then, but I'm still wondering if we need to say something, just because I do feel like even if we don't come at it as a place from a place of like anger, like if we call, especially if like you call up there and or say something like, you know, I'm concerned, like my wife had this experience and she was devastated and crying after her appointment, and I just wanted to let y'all know, just so we can maybe prevent this from happening to somebody else. Because like I said, there were probably other women that have been through more severe situations that probably would have been really traumatized by the way that he acted. So I wouldn't want any other woman going through that also.
Maybe we could probably talk to your doctor about it when we see her
in a few weeks.
So.
I did actually get a survey questionnaire on text today, and it was like wanting me to fill out like a little, I guess, a guest experience survey, and I've always ignored them. So today I was like, well, let me open it up. And it didn't just take me to like a little portal online where I fill out a survey. It took me to their Google reviews. So I left a Google review, and it was for the whole facility, but I was very descriptive as to what I said. But I did end up leaving a Google review, and I don't know if there's a way I can find it easily on here. But basically I gave them 1 star. And I called out the doctor, basically called out what he did and everything like that, and just wanted to be honest and be like, this is what the experience that I had, this is what I dealt with, and wanted to give other women a chance to like hear that before they just started going to this place. So this is what I said. I said, I normally have a good experience with the nurse midwives. I'm a first time pregnant woman, and every time I've had to see doctor, what's his name, I am made to feel stupid and never get my questions or concerns taken seriously. When a doctor is speaking to a woman going through pregnancy for the first time, they should be helpful and professional. I left my last appointment at 26 weeks in tears because I had to see him. When he came into the room, he didn't tell me to lie back because he was going to measure my stomach. Instead, he physically put his hands on me and pushed me down onto the table. I tried to ask him about my recent diagnosis of anemia and what that meant for me and my baby, and he didn't answer the questions I was asking. Not to mention, I have been prepaying for my delivery for almost $300 a month, so now I feel stuck with this office until after I have my baby. The nurse midwives and the receptionist have been great so far, but I'm just hoping I'm able to deliver vaginally, because if I have to end up having a C-section, I'm going to lose it if he ends up delivering my baby. And that's what I said. And I feel like maybe that's enough to do. I don't know, but I mean, I'm hoping that that maybe will help people in the long run. So.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just because we're in a small town and they're kind of like the only option and they think they can just get away with being shitty and that it won't matter. But, I mean, I feel like if enough people have bad experiences, it will matter.
Yes.
But anyway, so let's move on past that. And we just had our baby shower, our first baby shower yesterday. So if you want to talk about that a little bit.
Why don't you talk about it? I've talked so much.
Well, it was a lot of fun. I said I liked it better than the gender reveal because I feel like the gender reveal, I was just nervous about the environment of everyone asking me about having a baby and all that. And I'm still trying to like get used to it all. So I feel like I didn't enjoy myself at the gender reveal as much as I enjoyed myself at the baby shower. And plus the baby shower had more fun stuff to do. And I know that baby showers are typically only for women most of the time, but Kaylee wanted me to be there. And then like my dad wanted to be there and her dad wanted to be there. So we just kind of ended up letting some men be there. And I know she's having another one. What is it? Next month?
Yeah.
Next month. And that's going to be kind of a more women only one. I'm not going to that one, but it was a lot of fun. And we got a lot of really good gifts, a lot of stuff off our registry. And like, I was happy because we got a lot of practical things. I mean, any gift's nice, but it was nice to walk away with some practical stuff and not just like a bunch of clothes.
I honestly was surprised because we did leave there with a good amount of clothes, but honestly, I'm impressed with how many clothes we didn't walk away with. Like, we could have had way more.
And we got more diapers, and I mean, we had a few of our friends who they just became parents recently, and they kind of stocked us up with stuff that they were like, these things are really helpful, like, trust us, like, you're gonna want these things.
Tylenol and different stuff like that, so that was really nice.
But it was a lot of fun, and the only thing was that it was on the first game of the season for the Cowboys, but it all worked out because it ended right at the perfect time for me to still watch it, so.
Yeah. And my sister and my friend were the one that planned it, the same ones that planned our gender reveal, and they did a really good job with it. All the food was really good. We had a really good like Oreo cake, which was, I've never had an Oreo cake before, but it was really good. And we took it home with us, and we did some maternity pictures after the gender reveal. We did some maternity pictures after the baby shower, and they turned out really cute because I kind of decided in my head, you know, we paid for pictures for our announcement and did those, but we kind of like were hesitant about how many photo shoots we really wanted to pay for, because I know I want pictures of her obviously once she's here as a newborn, like, and with us, like, so I didn't really know if I wanted to pay for announcement pictures, maternity pictures, and newborn pictures. So I was like, let me just see if we can makeshift some maternity pictures ourselves. And I do have a really nice camera, and I can take pretty decent pictures. So usually if I can find the right lighting, the right settings, and give someone my camera and just tell them to push the button, we can get some good pictures. So that's what we did. And my friend took some really good pictures of Skylar and I and some of just me, and they turned out really cute, actually. So I'm glad I have those to like look back on when I'm not pregnant anymore. And I also feel like 26 weeks is early to do a maternity shoot, but at the same time, like, who knows how big and ugly I'm going to be later. Like, I might start swelling or get some crazy stretch marks on my belly or something. So I think doing them earlier actually can be better, especially if you're like me and you are like mid-sized and you already have a pretty significant bump. Like, I feel like if you don't have a bump, then it's like harder, but like my bump's already pretty fully formed. So I know it'll get bigger. And at that point, it's like, how much bigger is necessarily better for these pictures? So I think the bump size that I have right now worked out really well for that. But kind of going off of what Skylar said, we were just excited to like see everything. And of course now I'm like ready to start nesting and like getting stuff ready for her. I still have one more shower, so we probably won't like wash any clothes or anything until after that one. But like I think as stuff kind of comes in, especially because I know we have quite a few bigger gifts arriving this week, like we have our glider coming in, we have bassinet, high chair, crib mattress and all that stuff. So I think it'll be good to kind of like organize at least some of the stuff we have, so as we get more stuff, we're not overwhelmed trying to do everything at the last minute, because I really want the nursery to be done here within the next month. And we do have a couple concerts in the next month to go to. The holidays are starting. We have plans with friends coming down from Canada. So it's just a lot. So I really want to try to stay on top of it as much as possible. So,
and then we also got, we pretty much checked off every big thing now off our registry at between the baby shower and then like a few other just like recent gifts people have bought us. So that's a big stress relief.
The only things right now that we still really kind of need to budget for ourselves and plan on getting if we don't get is So for anybody who doesn't know, which is, you know, probably you because you're listening to this podcast, car seats only last like, you know, a certain amount of time. Like the ones that you imagine with a baby being in them, like where you can unclip it from the car and carry the baby inside with it, or like put it in a shopping cart or put it on a table at a restaurant or whatever. That little car seat only lasts the first few months of their life. So we will have to invest in another car seat, like probably two car seats, because those are the ones that you strap down into the car and they're honestly a pain in the ass to move them around once you get them in there. So usually if you have the means, you would buy multiple and have them in each one of your vehicles so you're not constantly moving it back and forth. Anyway, so we still have to buy two of those, which those can be pretty pricey, especially because I guess now everything's so fancy, and also like they have them for different stages. So it's not just like you have to buy one and then you're done. You have to buy one for a toddler, then you have to buy one for like a booster, and then like you have an assisted booster. So there's like all different ones. So we are wanting to invest in ones that are convertible. So they will actually convert from like when she's 3 months, and they will last all the way until she ages out of a car seat. So, we have that to get. We also have, just a couple of other things, like bigger things. Like we still need to get her mirror for her room and some other stuff for her nursery. But other than like the last little bookshelf, and like I said, that like everything else is pretty reasonably priced. So I feel better about being like in a situation where we can buy a lot of the stuff that we need if we still need it when the time comes.
Yeah.
We also still need a swing. So I really want to have a baby swing, 'cause those are really helpful. So,
but anyway, so it's been a long day and we're going to go organize some nursery stuff. So we're going to jump off. Hope everyone enjoyed the episode, and we will see you next week.
Bye.